I'm Danny, that witch next door, and welcome to Moonday Musings, a mini astrocast every Monday where we take inspiration and dive into the upcoming energy of the cosmos. Hello, neighbor. Happy Monday. Happy Moonday. And welcome to another episode of Moonday Musings. I'm Danny. I'm that witch next door. And I will be your cosmic guide for the week ahead. This is a very interesting week. There are a couple of aspects that I'm super, super excited to dive into with you, and I don't want to waste a second. So let's dive right in. If you're new here, welcome. If you're not new, I'm so happy you're back. Let's do a little self-check-in at the top of the episode today. So if you are new, at the top of every moon day, we always start with a really nice, just short breathwork practice to do a little bit of a mind-body-soul check-in. And I'm already stretching. You can kind of sweep your arms out and to the side and up above your head and maybe lean to one side or lean to the other. Give yourself a little back extension. Especially if when you're listening to this, if you've been sitting or standing or just in the same position or in the same flow of motion for a while now, take this moment to kind of change that up a little bit. That goes very well with what we're going to talk about astrologically today too. So take a moment and change it up a little bit. Whatever has been a little stagnant, a little bit repetitive, let's bring a little bit of movement and a little bit of refreshment and rejuvenation to that area. If you feel called to it, you can close your eyes right now. If you're like me, you might be feeling a little bit too stimulated for that. Sometimes when I'm a little energized or a little abuzz like this, my eyes won't really stay closed anyways. So my eyes are kind of open and surveying all around me. And what I feel really called to do with my hands right now, so funny, while the North Node was in Taurus, I was very just like still during these moments. And now, and we're definitely going to be talking about that North Node in Aries today. I have so much more little fidgety movements, but it feels good. So I'm kind of just very lightly and softly rubbing my palms together. Nothing super fast or frictiony or crazy, just allowing for some really light and nice stimulation. This is just an easy, simple way to let the kind of excess energy that I have going through my body right now somewhere to go with a little bit of movement, okay? So that's something that you can do. But whatever you are needing at this time, and if that is closing your eyes for a second, if that does look like kind of stimming for a little bit, tapping your leg or rubbing your palms or whatever that looks like, give yourself your energy a little bit of what it needs right now. One thing I really, really like when I am like, I'm not sure what I'm needing right now. And if that's where you're at, I really invite you to take a sip of some cold water right now or cool water if you can. You can also do with warm water, but there's something about doing this with clear, cool water that can bring some nice clarity when you're like, I'm not sure what I'm needing at this moment. Let the clarity and cleansing of water help you out there. So at the top of our time together today, I would love it if you would, at your own pace, whatever you're needing as far as breaths go, take three cleansing breaths right now. Those might look really big and robust. Those also might need to look a lot more soft and soothing right now. But take three beautifully cleansing breaths for yourself right now. Tap into your heart center. Thank yourself for giving yourself some time today. Thank the cosmos who are going to be opening up and offering us some messages today. And let's make a promise to the cosmos and to ourselves that we are going to embark on this week's astrology with an open mind and a grounded heart. so that we can access its full potential, y'all. All right, and let's dive right the hell in, because like I said, very excited. To move right from our self-check-in and tapping into how we are feeling, let's talk about the moon scope for the week. The moon right now, if you're hearing this on release day, the moon is in Libra today, Monday, July 24th, 2023. The moon's going to be in Libra all day today. The moon entered Libra when that was yesterday, early yesterday, Sunday. And moon will be staying in Libra all day today. So there's a lot of cardinal energy going on this week, Libra being one of the four cardinal signs. And definitely makes sense why I'm feeling the bright, fresh creativity. We've had a lot going on in some fixed sign energy for a while, and the nodes shifting from Taurus and Scorpio into Aries and Libra. They're bringing this breath of fresh air. They're bringing in a lot of creativity and inspiration with them. And I'm definitely feeling that. Now, the moon is going to move into Scorpio tomorrow afternoon. And so things might look a little bit different whenever the moon goes into Scorpio. I've heard the advice several times over, when the moon's in Scorpio, don't speak, just go silent. It's the best time to just not say anything. And depending on the Scorpio moon, that is super duper true. But I find that it's more accurate and a little bit more helpful to say instead, to be mindful of that Scorpio stinger, those scorpionic instincts, which is Scorpio knows when to kind of hang back, stay quiet, stay observing, and when it's time to strike. And that goes for all kinds of endeavors. And so while the moon is in Scorpio all the way till Thursday, just keep that in mind. I don't know that we necessarily need to take a vow of silence unless that's what you need right now. But I would be mindful of that emotional Scorpio stinger, checking in with how we're feeling to know when to hang back and when to strike. Now, on Thursday, the moon is going to move into Sagittarius, where it is going to stay in super fun, adventurous Sagittarius, which I think is going to feel really nice with the North Node being in Aries, by the way, all the way until Saturday, when the moon enters nice, grounded, practical Capricorn, and it will stay in Capricorn through the end of the week, through the end of Sunday the 30th. So that is where our moon is going through this week. If you want to check your chart and see where that is happening for you, the moon will start out this week in Libra and it will end this week in Capricorn. If you want to take a look at your chart and see what section of your birth chart that takes place, any placements that you already have there that the moon may be activating this week, that is an excellent, excellent way. That alone, doing lunar transits alone, just so you know, especially for anybody that's kind of starting to dabble and get into aspects or transit work, lunar transits, wonderful, wonderful place to start, because the moon's moving so much, it's activating so much in the current sky, it activates so much in our chart. It is a wonderful luminary to follow for practicing transits and for ultimately practicing forecasting, just like we do here on Monday Musings. Now, into these super fascinating aspects this week. The North Node just entered Aries, as I've mentioned a couple of times. That happened last week on Monday, exactly a week ago. We had the nodal shift. This week, not once, but twice, the North Node is going to form a square to Pluto retrograde in Capricorn right now at 29 degrees. So the North Node is in Aries at 29 degrees. Pluto is at 29 degrees and is currently retrograde in Capricorn. I did not look into the orbit technical side of this question. I'm going to tackle it from an interpretive side and offer a bit of my, my interpretation of this aspect happening twice this week. But I didn't look up, I'm just be fully transparent. I didn't look up how or why this transit's happening twice in a week. Here's what I do know. The lunar nodes always move, quote, backwards. Their forward movement on the chart, the north and the south node, is a backwards rotation than all of the other planets and luminaries. So if you look in the chart, the nodes will be marked retrograde. They're not retrograde in the sense that they're in, you know, a retrograde cycle, but it is to indicate visually on the chart for any reader, oh, these placements are always going the opposite way of the other luminaries. So the north node is, or the north and the south node, they're always moving retrograde. And Pluto is, of all of the celestials that we track, of all the major celestials that we track, God, this Aries cardinal energy is just so much. It's so hard for me to get all my words out in a cohesive way. Pluto is the, of all of the major celestials, the slowest moving in its orbital pattern that we follow. It also has a very odd and wonky orbital pattern. It spends a way, way longer time in some signs than others. So it on average spends, I believe it's around 13 years in Scorpio, but on average it spends upwards of almost 30 years, I believe it is, in Taurus, for example. It's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. So I think that this partially accounts for that happening. I think that the way that the orbital pattern for Pluto and the nodes, the way that they're moving and the timing at which they are moving right now, and because of the signs that they're in, which being both cardinal signs and being at such close degrees of one another, they're aspecting each other. I believe the reason this is happening twice in one week is just because of how the orbital patterns are interacting with one another. So I just wanted full transparency there for you. I didn't look this up from like an astronomical point of view. So I'm not sure. That would be a little Google trip for anybody that wants to go and see the explanation for how this square aspect between Pluto and the North Node is happening twice this week. But I think the simplified way of explaining it would be just because of the way that the speed at which they each move. And I think that taking into account that Pluto is retrograde is part of that, because when a planet is in retrograde, it is not moving at the same speed as it usually is when it's on its forward path. And again, this is all already very conceptual, because a retrograde is just an optical illusion. The planets just appear to be moving backwards because of their, I believe it's because of the centripetal force. They just appear to be moving backwards in the sky. They're never actually moving backwards. So, just to give you a little peek behind the technical curtain there, this is happening twice. That's my most simplified way of taking a stab at why on a technical level that's happening. But feel free to dig into that further. I would really love to dive into what this means from an astrological interpretive perspective. Now, a square in and of itself is what we call a hard aspect very often. This is an aspect that is challenging because it's meant to be challenging. It's meant to ultimately bring us what challenges bring us. So the way that squares tend to show up for us, like if we're looking at like squares in our natal chart, for example, squares tend to look like those events and experiences in our lives that were a fucking bitch to get through. And we also wouldn't take it back. We wouldn't go back and change anything because we know that it became a fundamental piece of who we are. Or we know that we learned like invaluable information, or we learned something about ourselves during that experience that no other experience would have ever been able to teach us. That is a square. That is why we don't say, fuck squares, I'm not leaving my house during a square aspect. That's why we don't run from hard aspects. That's why we don't demonize them right off of the bat when we are forecasting, because they are strength building. And when we look back, they're the experiences that we're like, damn it, I definitely don't want to go through it again. I wouldn't necessarily go back in time and repeat it, but I also wouldn't go back in time and change anything about it because there would have been no other experience that could have possibly taught me, you know, X, Y, or Z about myself or about the world or about my existence than that experience. And when we're talking about two big players like Pluto and the North Node, we definitely don't want to avoid here. And when we see two big square aspects like that, I think that we go a little bit as astrologers into survival mode and we ask, okay, we got this challenge coming up. Where can I? And we think we're preparing for the challenge, but we're actually doing is psyching ourselves up to try and avoid it altogether. And I'm telling you, that really shouldn't be the goal here. Let's look at the planet. So that's a little bit about a square. Let's look at the planetary characters involved in this interaction. Pluto is the higher octave of Mars. Mars is our planet of action and drive and desire and momentum. There are themes of destruction in Mars. Mars is this warrior. Mars confronts and battles. And therefore, Mars is going to destroy. There's going to be battles that Mars enters into and destroys the enemy. So there is this destructive quality to Mars. It's also how we get shit done. So when we talk about those destructive qualities of Mars, I don't like to look at it from a perspective like, oh, our Mars placement goes and burns everything to the ground. Or looking at Mars transits as these, you know, again, has these potential to be just really, really negative experiences. Mars, and we'll get into Pluto here, we'll bloom and birth into Pluto here in a second. Mars is our first step when we think about the octaves here. Mars is the first step in shadow work, in my opinion. And I guess I hadn't really thought about that way till those words just left my lips, quite honestly. But it is in a lot of ways. Mars houses a lot of our quote unquote like undesirable qualities and feelings, like anger, for example. And I think this is where we can really see how Mars has been demonized, reflected in how society has demonized anger and how we have found ourselves now needing to kind of speak out against toxic positivity, for example. When we take the step and the journey into Martian work, and we do that shadow work with our anger, with our desires, with the things that actually motivate us, and we learn where those things come from, we learn how to embrace them, and then to embody them authentically. I feel like this really opens us up now to take the next step into Pluto, the higher octave that is Pluto. So taking all that context that Mars can help provide, this is what I love about the octaves of the planets, by the way, taking all that context of Mars and bringing it with us into our Plutonian journey adds a lot of super helpful perspective. We know that Pluto is the death bringer. Let's call it what it fucking is. This is why Pluto is the transformer. Whatever brings death is gifting life and rebirth. Don't forget that. Whether it's pulling the death card in a tarot spread or seeing a Plutonian transit pop up like this, remember that whatever is bringing an end is automatically bringing with it and gifting a beginning. The astrological chart teaches us this. The sunset and the sunrise teaches us this. The moonset and the moonrise teaches us this. There's so many beautiful, beautiful examples in nature and in our universe and illustrated in the astrology chart and our spiritual practices that teach us this. And yet, we have really, we have like severely damaged our relationship with death, especially in modern Western society, which is the main that I can speak for. So, and really the only that I can speak for. So in modern Western society, I can very comfortably say that we have deeply, deeply wounded our relationship around death. And this is why we instantly go into avoiding. And if you think about it, we do this with Martian transits as well. We learn about and we sense the combat and the confrontation, the anger, right? All those things and the challenge. And we try to avoid kind of on a subconscious level. And the same thing goes for those events that bring endings and deaths. Pluto is a generational planet, meaning that because it moves so slow, many, many, many people within the same set of years, sometimes even set of decades, are born under the same Pluto sign. And so many, many, many people all around the world share their Pluto sign. And this is how we can start to see the connections, the similarities, and the differences between individuals and their generation, the traits of individuals and the traits reflected in within their generation. And then even bigger than that, we can start to make connections, look at the similarities, look at the differences between the generations themselves, right? Comparing the actual Pluto signs, comparing the full big collective groups of people within each generation. So on the other side of this square, so we've got Pluto, this transformer, this death bringer, this placement that represents our, in a lot of ways, our relationship to death, how we respond to it, how we feel about it, what we believe in it, how we teach others around us and the generations beneath us, how we teach them and how we communicate the cycle of life and death to them. All this can be found in our Plutonian, in our Pluto placement. And on the other side of this square aspect, we have the North Node in Aries. And the North Node is another very big player, which represents our destiny and our purpose and our on a very soul level and where we are headed in this life and many lives beyond this. It is a very big, very significant placement. These two squaring each other squaring off with each other, aka challenging one another, confronting one another. Pluto in Capricorn right now, and the North Node in Aries, confronting each other. And now because Pluto is currently retrograde, we're already in this reflective place. I've even noticed this on just a very day-to-day observant level, whether I'm just kind of watching and seeing what people comment on social media, how people are interacting with each other in day-to-day life, etc. You know, when Pluto goes retrograde, we're in a very reflective place about how things have been and how they are now and where they are going. That's probably the most simple way to put it. And then you add in this North Node in Aries, and man, we are really, really fucking concerned with that where things are going part. Really concerned. To the point where I wouldn't be surprised if there feels deep down under the surface this like big sense of urgency right now to figure it out, to know where you're going, to know where we're all going. Aries doesn't necessarily need to know where it's going. Well, it doesn't necessarily need to understand it. But it is extremely passionate about getting there and getting there now. Pluto is going to be challenging that by going, wait, we need to think about what's happened. We need to think about how that reflects with what's going on right now. And we need to, especially because it's in Capricorn, it's like, we really, really, really need to be practical about this. We really need to learn what we've learned before we take any steps forward. And that North Node in Aries is like, yeah, I fucking get that, but it's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. And so the fact that this aspect, this energy, this interaction between these two placements is happening within 1 week. It's happening within just, 3 days of each other. This first happens at 5:29 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow, Tuesday the 25th. And then it's going to happen again on Friday the 28th at 2:34 p.m. Eastern time. The first one's at 29 degrees. The second time it happens at 28 degrees. These are very, very complex placements, Pluto and the North Node, reflecting on where we've been as a society over the last couple of hundred years, over the last few decades. Like we're really deep in reflection when we're talking about this. How have things been? Where have things been? And trying to understand with how that got us to where we are now and how we're now trying to go, okay, let's also process all of that and then see where we're going forward, all while that North Node is like, it's time to get going. It's time to get going. You can't just overthink it. Sometimes you just need to go. So here's what I offer you as, I mean, this isn't even the right word, but as best advice I can offer you. Advice isn't really the right term because this is a big one. Pluto and the North Node aspecting each other. We're going to feel the effects of this, but we're not really going to see the ultimate long-term effects of it for very, very, very long time. And so here's what I do advise. There isn't a way to know exactly where we're going. There will never be a way to truly be able to take history and what's going on right now and be able to perfectly accurately predict what will come in the next couple of years, the next couple of decades, the next couple of centuries, and so on. I do know that Capricorn and Aries both have some big strengths to bring to the table. I do know that when we see a square aspect, how important it is that we remember each of these characters have a noble purpose that they're pursuing. And so it's definitely not about leaning full-blown into one or the other at all, but rather trying to understand how to get these two to work things out together. And very, very often, how we work through lots of confrontations, lots of challenges, as we see with squares, is with compromise. And I don't know exactly what that means, but I would take that and I would plant that little seed in yourself as some helpful, as just a helpful reminder to carry with you forward in this week and beyond. That very, very often, healthy, boundaried, you know, compromise can very often be exactly what is needed to move through even the biggest of challenges. So just take all of that with what you will. So the very last astrological transit that I would like to mention is we've got Mercury moving into Virgo this week on Friday. Right before that happens, Mercury in Leo will form a conjunction or merge up with Venus retrograde in Leo. And then it will form a trine to that north node. Mercury, I believe its role in the cosmic forecast this week is definitely to bring some awareness to our words and our communication and our interactions. I think with this big transit, like Pluto in Capricorn retrograde square, the North Node in Aries, I think it's going to be a little easy to get really swept up in our conceptual, you know, life, quite honestly. Get really stuck in our heads with a lot of overthinking. We might even get really swept up in our actions because of all this cardinal energy. And so we might find ourselves just doing. And I think that Mercury is coming in this week with its transits and its activations to keep some much needed focus on our interactions and how we're embodying all that we're integrating. How are we using that and applying it into our day-to-day life when we interact with each other and we interact with our environment? So let Mercury, who is moving into its home sign of Virgo this week on Friday, let Mercury do its thing and bring its strengths and bring you some mindfulness amidst these grand transits and aspects this week. So, with that, my dears, it is time to pull some cards for the week. So, while I shuffle, I would love it if you'd kind of change up your energy again, just like we did during the self check-in, kind of do any stretching, repositioning, wiggle out and roll out your wrists or your ankles if you need to, wiggle your toes or your fingers, close and open your eyes. Another sip of cool water would be a nice thing right now. If anybody needs a water reminder, right? Grab your water bottle. I know that you keep forgetting to. Here's your water reminder. Take a sip. And while I'm shuffling here, I would love it if you would open yourself up to a message of guidance based on the astrological messages that have come through for us today. So while we've been talking about these planetary characters, whatever's been coming up for you conceptually, however you've been connecting this into your life, I would love it if you would open yourself up for a message of guidance from the cards in how to best move forward with this information. We are pulling from the beautiful Deviant Moon Tarot and Oracle of Oddities deck today. I think I mentioned last week, I am just so excited to be reunited with my cards. I get like beyond giddy every time I get to pull cards right now. I get so excited. I'm like, oh yeah, which one am I going to use? But these have just been perfect for the neighborhood lately. Now, if you have not already pulled up your weekly email newsletter, you can go ahead and do that. If you're not already subscribed to my email newsletter, I highly, highly recommend it. I always email out any updates and fun announcements of anything that we're doing in the neighborhood. There's also a bunch of early announcements and releases that get sent to the email newsletter first. But most importantly, I send out a picture of the weekly card pull in the email every week. That's the only place you can get it, by the way. I don't post the cards on Instagram or anything, so make sure you're on the email list for this. This is so beautiful, what we got today. Last week from the Oracle of Oddities deck, we pulled the God card. And this week we pulled the Goddess card. It's beautiful and it works so fucking beautiful in this reading. How many times can I say beautiful? Well, this deck just does it to me. All right. For our tarot card, for our Deviant Moon tarot card, I pulled the Three of Wands. And I have pulled this a couple of times in this deck before, but this is the first time that I'm seeing it, and it is just hammering me with Empress vibes. I never noticed how similar in this particular deck, okay, in the Deviant Moon Tarot deck, the artist Patrick Valenza, there's so much Empress energy in this Three of Wands. The figure is pregnant with a big swollen belly, and the umbilical cord is on the outside coming from the belly button and connecting to three plants. And those are our three wands in this card. They're in this particular card, the wands are stalks. They almost look like corn stalks growing up out of the ground. And they're not only growing out of the ground, but the umbilical cord from the figure is coming out of the belly and nourishing the plants. And up above in the sky, a nice full moon is also blowing down its magical powers through its breath. So Empress, do you see what I'm saying? There's so many like lunar Empress-y vibes in this. I love it so much. And then to get it paired with Goddess, what? They're so connected. So here's how I really, really see this. When you think of everything that we were just talking about while I was describing the North Node, Aries, Pluto, Capricorn, squares, all of that, and then Mercury, mindfulness, right? I think that some of the biggest guidance our spirit team is giving us is receptive qualities, lunar qualities. And what's interesting is the wands is, you know, considered like an action energy or a masculine card, right? Wands, fire. But in this particular deck, there is this soft receptivity and it's allowing for things to unfold. In this moment, the action is passive and it is still action. Really take that in for a second. Sometimes being in action is being passive or receptive. I think that the moon in general, this is just a pure download, but the moon is it's for somebody this week. there's something about lunar energy that is just very, very, very nurturing, nourishing, comforting. I'm seeing like a hammock made out of lunarly love. I'm serious. That's the word coming through the term, lunarly love. Let yourself bask in that hammock. Let yourself be held. Let yourself be held. So, I hope that this is offering you what you need today and this week moving forward. And I think that this card message connects to that little seed I also planted when it comes to facing squares, which is compromise. Compromise is very often been seen as a defeat. And it can actually be a life-giving solution, the very opposite of a defeat, especially depending on how you look at it, how it's utilized. And when you remember that compromising does not mean giving your power away, but wielding it. I hope that this has been helpful for you this week, inspiring, informative. And I'm so appreciative of your time with me today and every day. I'm super looking forward to tomorrow's episode with you. We're going to be talking a little bit more into some of the things we talked about today, actually. And I'll be going over astrology for generational healing. I'm very, very, very excited about this, especially after our beautiful group past life regression in that witch school last week. Absolutely stunning. And I think that this is going to be really beautiful for anybody who was in that group regression leading up to our group reflection that we're going to be having together on August 5th. But I think it's also just going to be helpful for anyone in general who's been doing any kind of generational work. So if that sounds like you, make sure you come back for tomorrow's episode. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm so appreciative of you and your energy that you bring to this magical neighborhood. I hope you have a beautiful week. I can't wait to see you and talk with you more tomorrow. Make sure you stay safe. I hope you get to have some fun this week and stay magical out there. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed That Witch Podcast today, I would be super, super grateful if you would take a moment to head over to Apple or Spotify and leave a rating and review. It really helps to support the show. Or if you just have a friend that you think would enjoy what we're doing, what we're talking about here, you can just share the show with them as well. Now, if you yourself like what you're doing here and you want to get more into the magic of the neighborhood, I highly recommend checking out my monthly membership, That Witch School. It's kind of like a witchier, more interactive style of Patreon subscription where you can enroll at a tier level that fits your lifestyle and budget. You can get instant access to all of the bonus content that we've already done, as well as all of the future amazing to come bonus content that we'll be doing in the future together. There's exercises for strengthening your intuition. There are loads of resources for studying astrology and learning your birth chart. We've got guest workshops, bonus episodes, exclusive discounts, and so much more. My full-time students also get exclusive access to Mighty Networks, our private online community platform, which is basically like a way better and way more magical social media platform with a bunch of really cool people like you that just want to learn from and support one another on this witchy spiritual journey. If this sounds like something that you would really enjoy, head over to thatwitchnextdoor.com/enroll and explore the tier level of That Witch School that would fit you today. Now, if you have any questions after the episode today, any inquiries, show suggestions, anything you'd like to share with me, you can head over to thatwitchnextdoor.com/conjurethatwitch. Remember, I'm just always right next door. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next episode.